You're listening to Not a Single Mother podcast with Aislinn Dowling. Hello and welcome back to Not a Single Bother. What's the crack? Hope everyone is well and having a lovely week so far. What have I been up to for the last week? Nothing really. Like, I've actually been a little nana, to be honest. I've been trying to keep quiet. We went for dinner on Saturday. That's probably the height of it. We went to Bar Lucia here in Sydney, obviously. It's a Spanish tapas place, which was nice. It was nice. We probably just made some poor choices. We said we'd try something different, okay? I said it was tapas, like, so obviously there was loads of different bits and most of the stuff was actually gorgeous. But we said we'd try something outside of the box. We tried octopus. Not for me. It was just, yeah, bland, like just kind of, it obviously wasn't visually appealing and it just didn't really taste the best either. But other than that, I would recommend it. So if you're here in Sydney, I would go to Bar Lucia. What else have I been up to? I've dyed my hair. Some of you might have seen that on Instagram if you follow me. I don't like that either. I sound like a complaining little bitch, but lads, it was an impulsive thing, okay? I wanted to change, right? I wanted to get rid of the blonde out of my hair. And I was like, humming and hawing whether I get the blonde back in and just like redo the two front bits that I have, or if I go like this richer, like auburn colour, darker than my own natural colour. Impulse then like went and got a box dye and dyed it. And I was like, okay, so we're brown now. We're brunette. I'm a walking around brunette. So it took a while to get used to. I kept thinking I was wearing a hat. It just looked like I was wearing a hat in my head. I was like, what is this darkness? So anyone that's saying that they like it, I really feel like you're lying. Do you know, because it's such a drastic change. You're like, no, I love it. I'm like, you're lying to me. I really think you're lying to me. It doesn't suit me. Like, I don't think it suits me. It is growing on me a little bit. At the start, I was literally like, what's going on? But yeah, just literally there before I recorded this, I put in another like, I don't know, is it like a tonery kind of shampoo thing? So yeah, that was like a coppery one. So hopefully that brings more like redness to it, because I don't, like, not that I don't want to be brown, but brown just wouldn't suit me. Like, I'm naturally ginger. Do you know what I mean? On to this episode. This week we have the lovely Sarah Dolan. For those of you who don't know Sarah, I don't think you need to know Sarah. That's not the reason why I had her on the podcast. I have her on the podcast because she now currently owns her own salon called Bonky Beauty, based here in Sydney with her best friend. But I've been following her for ages, like well before she started this salon, like back when she was like working two jobs, like she was training herself up. She was teaching herself like how to do the lashes, do the brows, do all these kind of things, doing all that kind of stuff in her apartment as well. And now she literally owns, I would say, one of the most successful salons in Sydney with her best friend, which I think is just amazing. And they've loads of girls working with them inside that salon at the moment. Like, so she's absolutely flying it. And I just think it's very inspirational, #inspirational, what she did and what she's currently doing. So for that reason, I brought her on the podcast to just have a little chat about her journey and how she got there and the struggles that come with it. Because I feel like, obviously, on the face of things, it all looks amazing, it all looks glam, and it all looks like it was easy, but sure, obviously it wasn't. And there's just lots of gas stories from behind the scenes as well. But when I was listening back, lads, oh my God. The amount of times that I said, yeah. I don't know if that's like an Irish thing or if, because I had watched this TikTok a couple of weeks ago about this one imitating being an active listener, and I thought it was hilarious. I'll play it now, but I think it's kind of hard to...
Yeah.
You kind of have to see her facial expressions.
Okay.
And I was dying. I was like, that's gas because I know so many people like that. Okay, apparently that's me. This is another one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like to every single word Sarah was saying.
Right.
No, it killed me, like, to every single word Sarah was saying. I was just like, yeah. So, I don't know. I apologize. I've literally made a little compilation of the amount of times that I say yeah, and That's me. So you'll see that over the course of the coming days, because I actually couldn't cope. But yeah, I loved the episode. Loved chatting to Sarah. She's such a little sweetheart. And I hope you enjoy the episode. But lads, before I get into it, as usual, please follow us over on Instagram and TikTok for the video content. Instagram is at not a single bother and TikTok is at not a single bother pod. You can follow the podcast on Spotify, rate it 5 stars. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can rate it 5 stars there, but you can also leave a little review. And I'd really appreciate it if you did that, because it really, really makes such a huge difference for us. But thank you so much for listening, guys, and enjoy the episode. Let me know what you think, and I will see you again next Wednesday. Okay, welcome, Sarah. How would you describe yourself and what you do to people that don't know you or don't follow you?
Okay, so I'm Sarah. I am from Dublin. I've lived in Sydney for, God, 7 years now, which is wild. Okay, wow. We're 6 months to a year, like the rest of us.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah. I have a salon in Matchville in Sydney called Bonky with my best friend. I've been doing beauty for the past, I actually had to find out the timeline earlier because I wasn't sure how long I've been going or on my own and whatnot, but I've been going on my own for 3 years now, which is wild.
Congrats.
Thank you. But yeah, that's pretty much, I work quite a lot. I'm obsessed with my job. I have a little dog called Bob I'm also obsessed with, and I got married like a year ago. And that's just a little synopsis of
synopsis. And let's go back to the beginning. When you moved to Australia, why did you move over? What was the thought process? You said you're only going to come for like a year.
Definitely. Well, it's hard to like move when I feel like we were all like, oh yeah, we're moving to Australia, but we've never actually been to Australia. Mm-hmm. So like, how do you know if you're going to even like it?
Or, yeah.
It's just a wild thought. So I think to take the pressure off, I was like, we'll just go for 6 months. We'll see how we go. Mm-hmm. But I've always wanted to go, and I've always wanted, like, from the minute I turned 18, I was like, see ya. It was never for me staying in my hometown. Like, all my friends at home, there's like 8 of us in a group, and they're all still at home.
Right.
I was the only one that really chose to kind of.
Really?
Yeah, which is.
Do you know, I feel like Dublin people tend to stay in Dublin. Like,
yeah.
That's, I feel like that's a thing.
Mm. I don't think there's that many jobs out here.
Yeah, I never meet jobs, really.
No, honestly. I agree.
Yeah.
But I don't know why necessarily, but just chasing that kind of better life, just chasing the travel dream. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize I was gonna love it as much. I think the first year was really hard because you don't know when you're coming or going, you don't know whether toaster, like, are we staying? Once you know you're staying, I think I've only kind of finally settled with that decision to stay. Mm-hmm. In the past year or two, and that's been made it so much easier.
So you're going to stay forever?
I think for the foreseeable.
Okay.
Always been like, I came over with my husband now on, mm-hmm. Which is wild to say.
Yeah. I feel grown up. I feel 50 when I say it.
I came over here with him, and like, I think we always had the approach of like, look, as long as we're happy, we'll stay. If we're not happy, we'll leave. And
yeah,
we've never really put pressure on ourselves, mm-hmm. to go home or get a house or kind of like settle either place. So we've just kind of been going with the flow, and mm-hmm. as long as we're happy here, we'll stay here. So,
yeah, exactly. And that's the way to do it. And it is funny, like, when it's harder as well when you move over at the start. Mm-hmm. Like, people think it's very easy, but it's not. Like, you spend the first year
100%.
Like finding your feet.
Yeah.
And you just think it's good because everything looks amazing, but it's mm-hmm. like that, like, you have to buy the furniture.
Yeah.
Which is a pain in the hole. Yeah. Nowhere is furnished, really. Get a lease, do all these fucking random
all
things.
The adult stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're spending most of the year doing all those like stupid bits.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to stay for longer.
Definitely.
So was Australia the first place you came to?
So I went to, I always say I moved to Spain. I did. I fully moved to Magaluf when I was 18. But I was like, how cold here do I live in Spain?
My friends
saw it. I would like being like, it was Magaluf. No, I did. I actually went for like 3 or 4 weeks, and I stayed for like 6 months. Like, I loved it. I loved just not being in Dublin. I loved just the freedom.
Yeah.
So then I think when I done that, I was like, right, I need to make a plan and go for it. So
yeah,
I've done that when I was 18, and I moved here when I was like 23 or something. So
fab.
Yeah.
And when did you meet? Oh, and how long have you been together?
We are together 10 years this year.
Stop.
I know, it's just wild. I know.
Fucking hell. How old are you?
I just went 31 December.
Stop. And you look like a baby.
I can't believe I'm 31. Like, I'm just a baby.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like even when I was getting married, I was like, does someone know I'm doing this? I'm a child bride.
Yeah, who's allowing me to actually do this
in a race? Mom, yeah,
okay.
Literally. I was like, how is this allowed? But okay, I'll go in and get rid of my stress. But yeah, no, I can't believe when I say that, I'm like, I cannot believe I'm 31. It's wild. Because you don't, like, you think as you get older, it'll click and you'll start to feel.
No,
I'm just a baby.
Yeah. And when I started following you, it was before you got married. I'm not sure when I did. I've been following you for a while, but I remember when I figured out you were getting married, I was like, what?
I was like,
oh, she's a baby. She's such a baby face as well. So I was like, oh, she's 12. Child, right, so we're all the cops.
Is she in danger?
Like, literally. Call 911.
Yeah, she's underage, guys.
No, that's the Botox. Yeah. Ashley was saying, Saz, like, honestly looked after me for so long. Like, I think it was since I was probably about 26, I'd say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And,
like, shout out Ashley.
Oh, my God, I'm obsessed with Ashley. Any opportunity you'll see her fly over is fun. Just like, she saved my life. I'm obsessed with her. Oh, but yeah, no, that's a lot. People do say that to me, and I'm like, Botox.
Yeah.
I don't think so though. I think you have a big face anyway.
Well, yeah, no, I feel like a child.
We all do.
Yeah.
Glad I'm not the only one anyways. Yeah. So when you first got here then, what were you working as?
So I done the classic, you know, when you come over and you're like, I'm going to change it up. I'm not going to do the same
thing.
Honestly, why do we do that? Because the minute, I wasn't even in Australia. I was in like Thailand or Vietnam. We traveled a little bit before we got here. Okay. And I remember doing interviews on the beach in Vietnam. And then being like, so can you come in tomorrow for an interview? And me being like,
I'm
on the beach. So maybe like 10 days or so. Yeah. I immediately went back to what I knew. Like, so my first job was actually working for HelloFresh. When they had only started.
Yeah.
And I was working in customer service and just getting abused all day, every day, really. Which was stunning. So that coupled with like moving over here, I didn't know anyone here. I didn't know a soul here.
Oh, right. Okay,
like not a lick of a soul did I know. Where I had a few friends from football and stuff, lads, they made friends over here. Whereas like I didn't know anyone, and then I got into this job and like then I got promoted and then all of a sudden I got responsibility and stuff, and then the 6 months is up and you're out.
Yeah.
So it was just wild, then it's like, right, okay, start again. Mm-hmm. And then I got a job working for Ingla, and genuinely the day I got the job for Ingla, I was like, I made it, guys.
Yeah.
I made it.
That's me, sorry.
That's me. I'm off to the Hollywood. Good luck. Yeah. But it, like, that was the biggest anticlimax from how life.
Oh, really? Not a vibe.
But I had only qualified makeup just before I moved here.
Okay.
So I literally had no experience in anything beauty before I moved to Australia, which a lot of people are like, wait, what? I've just randomly done a makeup course before I moved here. And I think I'd done the course in May, and then I moved here in the October. So like there was no time.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, and then I got the job for Ingla. In the interview, they were dead serious. They were like, so how would you feel about like a 0 hour week contract? And I was like, I'd feel poor.
What? Like, 0 hours?
Yeah.
So
as in, like,
when am I working?
I was like, no, I'm genuine, I feel poor. And then I started laughing and they were deadpan staring at me. And I was like, oh, sorry, that wasn't a joke. And they were like, no, like there'd be some weeks that there'd be no hours. And then I was like, okay, well, that's not necessarily going to work
for me. Yeah, like a job means I need to go.
Job equals pay. Yeah. So then I was like, okay, well, obviously I'll have to get a part-time job. Yeah. And they were like, okay, yeah, but even that would be number one. And I was like, okay, well, no. I did that anyway. Like, right. I don't know how I done it, but I took the job in Inglot and had 0 hours 1 week, 30 hours the next week. And in the meantime, I went to like an office, like a customer service job again.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl interviewing, oh my gosh, she's an angel, she's from Manchester. And I literally looked her in the cell and I was like, gal, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I don't know whether I can do 1 day this week, 5 days the next. I don't know what I'm doing. But if you can work with me, I'll make it work. And she took the shot and gave me the part-time job. I was promoted then to manager within a few months. And
class.
I was a manager then for 4 years. That was only meant to be the little part-time was like on the side of Ingla, but I ended up quitting that one. And then, I was a full-blown manager in a online retail store for 4 years.
Unreal.
It's that random.
Yeah.
But that's how I met most of my friends. And that's how I know Niamh.
Okay.
I hired her in that job.
No way.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure if you knew each other from home.
No. I don't think so. But like, we lived 10 minutes away from each other at home. We actually worked out when we met that we were at a party. We were at a 21st birthday together. Like, she's in the background of the photos and stuff.
Stop.
But we just never knew each other.
I know. That's bizarre.
Wild.
That's Ireland, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
You're related.
Yeah.
So I hired Niamh and then, worked there for like all my friends really that I made were all from there.
Oh, unreal.
It was like, I think I had just like 18 staff and they were all like British or Irish and we just had a ball. But then, things got a bit more serious during COVID and whatnot, so I decided to quit that one then finally. Right. I was only looking up, I was trying to find out when I quit and stuff, and I went through my WhatsApp and was like, resigned or quit. I was trying to find the buzzword. Mm. And the message that I found was like from my friend who worked there with me and was like, Sarah, you're really gonna have to quit that second job now. Like, I never see it anymore. Like, it's like you're just working too much now, because that's when I was building the beauty. Like on the side, and I was just like working every waking minute. Like, I was either in that job or I was in the B job, and one saw me, or I didn't do much. Like, the first few years here, like a blur, like I didn't do much other than work, which is wild to think, because that's not what you come to Australia for,
exactly.
But, like, it's worth it now.
I feel like lots of people fall down that rabbit hole as well of like working so hard. People think it's all like having the crack and stuff, but we're pretty hard over here. Like,
you have to keep it up, but I mean, I think because I was working the 40-hour week in the manager role, and then I was also trying to start a beauty business on the side, and I was trying to then build the side hustle to then flip it and make the side hustle the main hustle. And that's obviously what I did in the end, but like that year or so in between of running the two of them at the same time was honestly hectic.
Like, yeah, I'd say so.
But it's only when I was like reminiscing and looking back at the time that I was like, how did I do that? Like, how did my relationship survive? And stuff. Because I was doing like a 5 to 9 in the morning, like working, like doing the beauty stuff, then going to my 9 to 5.
Jesus.
And then doing something in the evening as well.
Fair play.
Like, when I look back, I'm like, it's worth it now, but at the time, like, Christ.
And how did you find building up like your clients then in a brand new country?
Because I've never done it at home, sure. So like I know
so it's your first time doing that in general.
Exactly. But I had a taster from working in England that the industry was a little bit more bitchy and a little bit more competitive, and that just wasn't really my vibe. I just not about that life. Like, so when I kind of started, I was like, oh god, okay, it's like that. But like, I just, when I first posted, I saw my first post in the Irish and Sydney, and I had 100 followers, and it was, I think, 2018 maybe. Maybe 2017, when I just moved here anyway. And like, I was literally doing one makeup at like 10 a.m. and then another at 2 p.m. like, my whole day then is blocked because I have to be away from my home and stuff. So it was really hard at the start. It's obviously gotten easier over time, and I see people just arriving in now and like getting bookings, and I'm so happy for them that they have the community now as well. Yeah. Whereas I feel like when I came over,
there was less people here.
There was less of a community, definitely. I think COVID really, we all came together. Anyone who was here through COVID, I feel like really, really, really done a lot for each other. And my business here, like, it would be nothing without the Irish community in Sydney. So I'm super grateful for that. But people are great, like, especially up here. Like, I just think people are so supportive, and that's all I kind of wanted to do then when I got into the industry, was kind of make sure that if I'm going to get support, I want to give support, and hope you create, like, don't be part of that bitchy kind of side of things, like, create the better side of things. So it's definitely hard, but then, like, teaming up with other makeup artists and being like, hey, if you're not free, like, send them over to me, or...
I see people doing that, actually.
Because... like, obviously, I had no experience, but, like, girls from home who would be like, oh, you'd never get this at home. And I'm like, well, that's sad.
It's sad.
I mean, I don't know now, but, like, I've just had a few people be like, no, that's so handy. Like, if I can't get an appointment to you, I'll refer to someone else.
Yeah.
And they'll do the same for me. And I feel like kind of building those relationships really helped.
Yeah.
But all in all, it was hard to build a client base. It took a long time. I think from the point of starting the side hustle and then quit my full-time job, I think it was about 2 years.
Of
trying to build it on the side, and then have enough kind of confidence, I suppose, to quit the full-time job and go for it. It's been 3 years since I quit the full-time job. And
what was like the turning point that you felt like you could quit the full-time job, that you just had built up enough people, you were that busy, or was there going to be like a little bit of a gap?
There was definitely a gap. And I'm just very fortunate that I had Owen to like cover the rent and after me and those, and I know not everyone has that kind of support to be able to do that, so I was very lucky to have him. But I was meaning to quit for so long, like every time, like I'd have it, like I was turning people away then on Fridays because I had to work the full-time job, and then it was just getting busier and busier, and the demand was there. I really hate turning people away, but I couldn't cut ties with the other job because I was there for so long. But I actually got like a new manager, and he was not the one for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really tried. I think I lasted 6 months trying to make it work with him.
Okay.
And then I was just like, you know what? This is my sign to go. Like, this is the kick up the bum I've needed.
Just not a nice person, like.
He was just, one of these men who, like, just a bit of a misogynist, you know? Especially in, like, a kind of more corporate environment. Like, if a woman spoke, it was like...
Not
at all. So it just wasn't for me. It wasn't, like, filling me up anymore. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't getting any satisfaction from it anymore. So, I genuinely think if he hadn't come, though, I would have stayed there even longer. Okay, and I would have burned myself out more.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, 100%. So the day that I handed my notes, I was like, it was meant to be a really happy day or a celebration, but it actually was like, oh God. Oh Jesus, what have you done? And it was like after the first lockdown and before the second lockdown. So I was like, oh God, what have you done? Like, honestly, I haven't looked back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was so scary, but I haven't looked back. But yeah, there was definitely a good few months where though it's not much coming in.
But I
didn't have the time to invest into what I wanted to do because I was wasting my time doing something that I didn't love
You need to kind of take those hits, I guess, look at where you are now, like it's all worked out perfect.
You just have to sacrifice something, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, before I was kind of sacrificing the life balance kind of side, like I wasn't going out on weekends or I wasn't seeing people and stuff. Whereas like when I was able to quit the other job, I was able to meet the girls for a coffee here and live a little bit. Obviously sacrifice the income and whatnot, but I just think like had I not done that, I wouldn't have any time to invest back into skill and practice and whatnot. So that's the thing I've done, 100%.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And so as your personal Instagram has grown to over 10,000 followers, congrats by the way. Do you think that sharing your personal life and showcasing your personality is like key to growing as a beauty business owner or beauty people in general?
I think 10k isn't much to many people, but like for the blood, sweat and tears that went into that, honestly, like the whole goal of me doing putting so much time into Instagram was purely to build up a client base. And I think once I achieved that, then I was like, okay, I can take the foot off the pedal a little bit here. Because I used to literally say at my makeup mirror for like 3 hours and paint myself red and do a TikTok and do a video and do a post, and then it has like 50 likes and you're like, oh god. But all those hours were put into it, and that's what the goal was purely to get a client base. I think the more followers that have come over time, the more pressure comes on, especially when you're providing a service, because you have more eyes to kind of ridicule you and you have more eyes like opinions and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, I think I'm personally more inclined to go to, like, even coming to the podcast, like, hearing you and knowing what you're about and knowing a bit about you, I'm more likely to support you. So I do think that sharing a bit about me has been important. And I didn't really realize, at the start, I was like, no, I don't want anything to do with it. I just want to post my clients.
Yeah.
And then I remember looking at my insights on Instagram and seeing that, like, the most popular photos were, like, my photos. And I remember saying to Owen, like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I remember being, like, the most popular one was, like, an outfit picture. My first ever outfit picture. Which was horrific. I was just going out with him, and he took a picture, and I stuck it up. But that had the highest insights. And I remember being like, I'm spending 2 or 3 hours cleaning myself red.
Yeah, how frustrating.
Yeah. And I stick up a photo of me in an outfit, and I'm like, okay, well, that's obviously what people want to see more.
Yeah.
I kind of just use it off that. Like, same now, if makeup gets more, kind of gets a better engagement, I'll try and push more makeup then, or like vice versa with makeup, or brows, or lashes, or whatever it is. But I do think, and that's the advice I give to my friends who are trying to build theirs, is like, people will support you if they know you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, for me, and you're like, I won't go to someone if I don't know who's behind the page. Like, I'm too anxious for that. Like, where you at school? All the details about it before I go in.
Yeah. It's so true.
It just confuses me a little bit. So
yeah.
I try to do the same for people coming to me, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's just mad how social media works these days and how beneficial it is to people running businesses. And like, it's annoying then for people who, like, I know you weren't comfortable at the start, but some people would be like, absolutely no way. And it's like hindering them then in a slight way.
100%.
Like, do you know, 10k it's a good number, but like in terms of like influencers, it's probably not good for a business owner. I think it's unreal. Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
because like the more I think that goes on there, I think the more pressure is applied. For me anyway, that's what I was feeling. Like, I used to do this before and after, like every Saturday I'd do a before and after video of someone's makeup. And then as the followers grew, I was like, oh god, like maybe people aren't comfortable going up there when there's more eyes watching, and like I don't want to put that on them. And it's probably not the case at all, but I think just having that amount of people looking at your story every day or looking,
scary.
It is scary. Like, I don't think it hindered me. I power through, but like there's definitely been days where I've been like, I think I've taken the foot off the pedal a lot now, because like the pressure isn't on me at the minute. Like I'm booked up comfortably. Like that's why I was doing it. But it's also like a security thing as well, that if you're not feeling secure in yourself and how you look, it's very hard. Or if you've had a bad day, if there's something personal happening, like it's so hard. And like props to any of the influencers that do it, because it's not an easy gig.
No.
People think that, oh my god, they've got the life variety. It's like, try it then.
Yeah, literally.
Honestly, try it.
I always think that as well. Like, obviously, in comparison to a fucking surgeon or a nurse or something, they're not, you couldn't compare the
different
two. And I hate when people do.
No, different worlds.
It's like, they're completely different worlds. But like, it's the same as you compare it to somebody that's maybe working in an office, which I am now as well, on the as my real job.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, you're putting yourself out there. And it's a lot of the reason why I took the break, because I was like, oh my god, do I want, because I used to be overanalyzing everything, like you put yourself out,
yeah,
and like I'd be looking at the stories that I put up and I'd be looking at my face constantly, or like the way I'm speaking or what I'm saying, and I'm like, no. No.
I'm redoing it 50 times.
Yeah.
Just never really being happy with yourself, really. Where it's
like, or just thinking like, oh, what are people going to say about that now? Mm-hmm. Even though it's something so stupid, like, do you know? Yeah. But now I feel more comfortable because I have Kelly with me. She's like my little comfort blanket.
Emotional support dog.
Yeah. And that's probably like, name is for you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I got Bob originally, was my first time. But now I have an Eve is... Honestly, it's just so nice. I'm sure you know now as well, to like have someone be like, hey, your mind's playing tricks either, like, stop, like, you're being too much, mm-hmm. or else, like, to vice versa, to do that for them.
Yeah.
So it's been a game changer having someone with you to be like, heads up, maybe don't put that up for
yeah.
stuff like that. Because I remember, like, one of my best friends, Megan, she does, she posts a lot for her business as well. And I remember she's gonna laugh at me saying this thing, but I remember she posted a video, and she always does in her gym gear and stuff. And I remember being like, oh, girl, we got a camel toe.
I remember this! Because I saw the reaction afterwards. I was crying!
I just remember being like, oh god, oh no, oh no. And I was like, I'm gonna have to tell her. Like, it's like, yeah. That's your duty as her friend.
Yeah.
To tell her. And I literally just sent her like a voice note being like, SOS, like, quick, there, you have got a camel toe in that photo. And fair play to her. Like, she was howling, laughing for herself. And then Declan was like, yeah, gal, we all have them. Like, yeah. And I was like, chill off, fair
play. Fucking play.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So I think sometimes you can kind of like bring each other back to reality a little bit. Like, although I was trying to save her a little bit, she also then was like, no, that, like, stop being so hard. Stop on her, but like on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have that. Like,
yeah,
it's so
fuck
normal.
Who cares?
It's
yeah. And you're like, oh yeah, actually, yeah.
As soon as that, I felt like nearly in peril. I was like, you go, girl.
Yeah.
Keep up the cowl. Absolutely.
I loved it.
Fly the camel jumper.
Yeah.
Whereas 10 seconds ago, I was like, get down.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need a different perspective on it.
Yeah, but obviously initial reaction, you'd be like, oh my god, did she see that? Did you notice that?
No, she actually didn't see it at the time, so it's funny to laugh at.
She
took it like a champ. But I just love the response. I wasn't anticipating that response.
Yeah.
And then it kind of makes me want to go a bit easier on myself. But
yeah.
I'm like, oh god, look at, like, you're double chin there, look at your,
yeah,
do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. It's like, yeah, stop being sorry.
Yeah, who actually cares?
That. Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah, Megan, I feel like her mindset is very good in that. She just doesn't really care.
It kind of rubs off on you then. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, I think your personality is the makeup of who you spend your most time
100%,
with. 100%,
yeah.
And that's why it's so important to me that I have girls like, mm-hmm. I do that are just promoting good.
Mm-hmm.
And just like...
good vibes all.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And they'll also call you on your stuff if you
need
like
that.
I love that.
You don't want people that are like, you're doing amazing all the time. You're going out there thinking you're fucking...
Absolutely,
yeah. Beyonce.
Yeah. Like, no, you don't have that. Like, you're doing amazing, sweetie.
When you're being a dickhead.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I have a good balance of that. But sometimes I don't need to apply that to yourself. Then when you're looking at yourself back and be like, no, do that again.
Yeah.
But it's hard. Instagram is hard. And, like,
yeah,
I do think influencers get a bit of a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't absolutely not include myself in that bracket at all. But people who do...
Mm-hmm.
Instagram for a living and stuff like that, I think they have a hard rep.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a very negative connotation towards it, and I think I just don't think it warrants it from someone who's tried even 2% of that.
Yeah.
Purely to build my business, it's like, it's so hard.
Yeah.
It honestly is really, really hard. And to get like the odd message here or there, or like feedback or whatever it is, opinions, or she said, like it's hard. Like, it's hard to deal with that.
Yeah,
if you're not
yeah.
strong in yourself, I feel like it would impact you a lot. Like,
yeah, and it's a different kind of hard. Like, obviously, if you're working like a 9-to-5, whatever it is, like, you go to work and you leave
mm-hmm.
it at home, or you leave it at work 100%. Like at 5 o'clock, you're gone and that's it. But like, when you're doing influencing or social media stuff, you're thinking about it all the time, and then you're kind of it's mentally draining, and it's hard in terms of the level of work that you do. Obviously, it's like it's different for everyone.
It is different spectrum.
Yeah,
but like, I think from my job previously, like, I would have been on the phones a lot, and then
mm-hmm.
as a manager, then I would have had to have a lot of like hard conversations or bad feedback and stuff like that. But then having it about you and your business or your face or your work,
because
it's so personal, it's so much harder to take than when it's about someone's like rug not arriving or something, you're like, oh
yeah
come on, surely get over it.
Yeah,
but like when it's your face or something like that, it's obviously way more personal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you how you take it and if you do take it on board and what you do. And I think if you're not mentally strong, I think it really could get you a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I feel like some people then would say like, oh well, it's their choice to do it, but I'm like, yeah, but like also like I'm doing this because I'm passionate about it. Yeah. And I've like, that was kind of the only thing I was ever interested in when I was coming from school. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was always either, I wanted to maybe work in radio. I didn't really know. Yeah. And like, I'm doing it because it's something that I want to do. And like, other influencers are doing it because it's something that they're passionate about. Like, and they're not interested in other things. So it's like,
do
you know, when people who say that, then it's, and I'm like, well, but that's what they want to do. Like, God forbid they'd be doing something that they want
to
do.
Just leave them to it.
Yeah.
I think like, there's never really been a situation where, like, if someone was to say, to send a message and it was going to be public, mm-hmm. would you still send it?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? I think, and like, that's where, yeah, if you don't like, stop following them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just don't said, bother.
Like, I personally don't have anyone on my timeline that I have any negative feelings towards.
No, I would never, ever, ever understand that.
I don't get it. I think, like, for me, like, I had one bad message before. I've had a few, but like,
I was going to touch on that as well.
I haven't had many. Like, I have a couple. But I had one, and it was like kind of an older woman with a few kids. Like, her bio was like,
always is, isn't it?
Always is. And then obviously, be kind in the bio, of course, sent me a message. And I just remember thinking to myself, it was obviously like a day where I was like, yeah, you're a strong girl. Because I remember voice note, and I was like, I'll call her Jane for reference.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jane. I'm so sorry your day is going this way, that you feel the need to send me a bad message. I hope your day gets better. And I wish you nothing but the best.
That's the way to handle it.
Good luck.
Though, yeah.
Because, like, even if you have something constructive to say, sending an abusive message to a stranger online reflects more on you than it does on them. And, like, I personally will just never take any type of criticism or abuse from somebody who I don't even know
exists.
I don't know anything about you, or, like, you're just being nasty for...
Yeah.
And then you sign it off with, like, take this feedback if you want. Just so it makes you feel better about
being... Oh, my God. Why? What was the message?
That one was about, so funny, I've been an affiliate with Her Place Cosmetics for so long, since they started. They're an amazing Irish company based in Sydney, and I support them at any opportunity I can, of course, as do they with me.
Yeah.
But there was certain products that I couldn't get on there, like Charlotte Tilbury or some international brands. Like, Her Place specialise in Irish and British and small business owners. It's amazing. But I remember I put up like a little haul, me thinking I'm doing great, putting up a little haul being like, girls, I recommend this foundation and this, and it was like Charlotte Tilbury or whatever, and Jane, we'll call her, was like, who do you think you are not supporting Irish, and you've gone over to Australia.
I can't.
All this, like, just so rogue that I was like, God, I never would have woke up today and thought that's going to give someone ammo to come at me.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, there is times where I see people post things that I'm like, oh God, like, you're going to get, like, even if I see it, like, for example, like, if I saw somebody post about, like, going to SeaWorld, I'm like, oh God,
that's best of luck now.
Like, you're taking it, you're like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not gonna end well there. Whereas for myself, like, there are obviously times where you can be like, ooh, will I post that, will I not? Whereas that was just one of those that I didn't even think twice about. I never in a million years thought I'd get a bad message for that. And it was a big lengthy like paragraph. And I remember just like a 10-second voice note back being like, Al, I hope your day gets better, because it's not a happy person that's taking their time out of the day to, like, there was a lot more involved in the message than I said there, but like, that was kind of the premise of it. But
what she was saying wasn't even valid anyways. You know what I mean? You do promote Irish, like, always.
Yeah, of course. And like, what, are you not meant to buy any other type
of Irish? Like, fuck off.
I also live in Australia, it's a bit harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just funny because it's ironic, because I am an affiliate for that brand and I work with them so much, and I was just like, God, I was totally out of left field now. I never saw that one coming.
Yeah.
I would be very lucky that I don't get much, but I hate the whole opinion of like, oh well, they put themselves out there. It's like, well,
that's another thing. Yeah,
you know, like, you know, that doesn't mean you can just send me messages.
You fucking psychopath.
Yeah, I don't really get that. Like,
I would like, if you ever, lads, it would never happen, but if you ever saw me commenting under somebody's sort of negative thing, literally check me in. Something's going on.
But that's because people don't do it publicly.
Yeah, like, you do. The worst is people. Do you know when you read like TikTok comments and YouTube comments and stuff like that? I'm like, you're not.
Oh, they're a different kind of fish.
You're weird. You're a strange human being.
Yeah, the Facebook patrol come out and like,
oh, Facebook,
they're gas. I just don't think you'd ever get someone sent to me a message that would also post it publicly.
Yeah.
Like, imagine seeing your friend do it.
Oh, I mean, like,
are you flirting? Is that really okay at home? Yeah. Like, do you need to talk about it? Like, that is not normal behavior.
No, like,
so like, no, and I would never do it, and I would never, like, I don't understand the mindset of it, to be honest.
I don't get how people get so bothered by people that they don't know.
Strangers on the internet, yeah, that's why.
Like, is it like, just keep trying. Like,
keep going.
I'm literally like, okay, I have to make my dinner.
Like, I think they just.
Do you not have stuff to be doing? Like,
I think they just find, like, any that I had, like, the nastiest thing and then ended with, like, you take this on the feedback on board if you want. So it's like, you can't just say something mean and then be like, this is feedback, it's up to you if you want to take it on board. That's just making yourself feel better about being
rude. Yeah.
A lot of them I would just, like, I'd say I had 10. Like, okay. I wouldn't get many.
That surprises me, though, because I'm just like, 10 what, though? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
10 what? Like, what would you possibly be saying to me?
Because for me, I'm like, 10 happy days. Do you know
what I mean? Yeah.
And there was one or two in there that I'd be having a bad day, and it took me off the edge, and I'd be like, you know what? I'm quitting.
That would send me.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I'm going to quit, and I'm going to become an electrician. Genuinely, that was the phase I went through. I was like, Sparky Sarah, yes, let's go. Has a ring to it. And then I was like, can you just have some food?
Make a
nap, and then we'll circle back. But you just don't know, like, you don't know what someone else is going through before you say something.
Just shut up. Keep it fucking scrolling. Don't make yourself dinner. They're probably
terrified. Honestly, don't want
to know. Oh, honestly.
But yeah, that was one of the many phases was going to be a Sparky.
I know,
I went through a phase of wanting to be, like, in the AMBO. Is that, like, the permanent?
The what? Yeah.
I'm Australian now.
Yeah.
I think I watched like two episodes of like 999 with Taylor Recency. I was like, yes.
That's me.
I can do that.
That's me.
And then I looked it up and it's like a 4-year degree here. Like, I was like, oh no.
Never mind. Yeah.
That was when I was kind of searching for what I wanted to do. The career change and all that kind of stuff. I was like, I don't know what I want to do, but I just know I want to help in some form. I didn't know what way, and I think when you want to help someone, you're like, you have to be a nurse. You actually have to go and become a nurse. Whereas, like, I think for me, anyway, the reason I do my job is I love giving people confidence, and I love seeing the transformation when they come in versus when they leave, and I love that, helping in that way. Because at the time, I think I was taking it very literal, being like, well, if you want help, you gotta.
I need to make people better physically.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I didn't realize there's other types of helping. Whereas, like, I remember going through that being like, I don't know what I want to do, but like, I know I don't want to be the manager in this call center anymore, and like, I just wasn't happy. But I remember just being like, what do you want to do? And then when I get the message, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm quitting this.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell mine off the salon and move to Yemen and become a Sparky.
Love it. A couple of years now.
I'm off to Guam.
Good luck.
One person.
No, I'm really sorry. Oh, gosh. So when did the conversation then start between you and Niamh setting up Bonky Beauty?
Yeah, wild. So Niamh moved home during COVID.
Oh, she did?
Yeah,
oh,
so Niamh went home. So she lived here, obviously worked with her, met her there, and then she, as we all did, kind of got that notice of, like, if you're not a resident, you need to leave. Yeah. And, like, a lot of people kind of
it was
just
all bizarre. Yeah, Dennis nearly went home.
What a wild time to
nearly said our goodbye. Well, no, we did say our goodbyes. And then actually, yeah, I'm saying. We're only just getting together.
Stop.
Yeah, like, a couple of months. But, like, it was very quick at the start for us. And then he was like, yeah, no, like, I have to go home. Like, because we didn't know. Like,
none of us
a stressor, a worrier. Whereas I was like, no, it'll be grand. It literally be grand. It wasn't grand.
It would be grand.
And then he was like, sure, we don't know what's going to happen. And yeah, he's going to go home. And then it was all like, do you know that time when like, it was very last minute. And like, then it was like, different countries are closing their borders. Flights were going crazy expensive. And then he couldn't, which is the best thing that ever happened. Because he would have died at home. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Poor Nietzsche. They went and I remember we were like, do we go? Because like no one knew what to do at all. It was so scary. And then I just remember ScotMo coming on the TV and being like, if you are not a citizen, like you need to leave. And I remember the panic of being like, oh God, I don't want to leave. And then I don't want to stay now if he's starting to leave. And
You don't want me here, I'm going.
Yeah. I was like, fat. Oh, actually, no, not fine. Because I do want to stay here.
Yeah.
But no, Niamh, bless her and Mark, they left and they went home and they set up shop at home. They gave it a real bash. I think she was there for like a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
So
I know. And then they got the opportunity with the NILVAC, the COVID visa, to come back. And I actually surprised me when I went home. As soon as the borders opened, we couldn't travel because we had, we went on residency yet. So we could only travel in the gym and I think like that, and we just arrived home and surprised everyone, and I remember surprising her and she literally looked at me and saw, I was like, I just booked my flights back, I'm moving back in August, and I was like, oh my gosh,
I was not
expecting, and yeah. She booked it in the gym, yeah, she came back in August, so I remember being like, let's go, like,
yeah,
if you want to do, like, let's go, like, let's do it together, because I was obviously after I quit my job and I was got like a year and a half into working for myself, mm-hmm. and I was getting to the point where I wanted to move out of working from home. And then Neves and the real makeup artist, and then I think she was training brows and stuff like that. And I was like, we have an opportunity here, like, let's do it together.
Mm-hmm.
She was quite scared at the start. She was, I think, a little bit just, as was I, but like, I had obviously had the experience of doing it for a year or two, where mm-hmm. she was like, oh God, like, oh God.
Yeah.
And I think she took, like, she took a office job when she first arrived. I think she took one day. And I was like, yeah,
actually,
no. And I need the fob there.
Yeah.
She rang me on the way home. She's like, yeah, no, I don't know why I was here. I was like, let's go. Let's give it a try. So then, to be honest, like, the salon kind of came about because we couldn't actually find anywhere to work from together. Like, I was okay. working from two separate salons, one doing makeup, one doing lashes, because there wasn't room in both, in one of them for me to do both.
Okay.
And then obviously having Eve, there wasn't room for the two of us. Mm-hmm. So then we were like, right, if we can't find somewhere, we're gonna have to kind of make our own.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying, but I was gonna do it. Like, it was naturally the next thing for me.
You would have set it up on your own.
I would have had to be honest, because I had only moved, I had my little home salon in East Garden, and I'd only moved to a little house in Murray, but I didn't want to set that up as I just wanted to keep it separate.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I had no choice, really, but to find somewhere else to work from.
Yeah.
I don't know if I necessarily would have opened, like, a big salon like I did, but I think I would have definitely had to do something outside of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, I don't know if, like, Niamh, she was so scared to do it, but the two of us were terrified, and we both were just like...
It is scary, though.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And we, like, I think we nearly, like... We're gaslighting each other a little bit into being like, it's not a big deal at all. It's not even a salon. It's a shared workspace. That's literally what we said for months. Like, it's only a shared workspace. It's not even a salon. It's fine. We were kind of just started looking, and then they were like, we need to have a name. You have to have a name. And we were like, I don't
know.
Could not think of a name. And then Niamh got her dog. She got Frankie. And then I had Bobby. And I was just like,
I love the name.
Bonky.
It's just pure suit, and it looks cool. Do you know when you see it written down?
Yeah, I just love it. It's a bit rogue, it's a bit funky. Like, I'm coming around to it now, but I think because I kind of came up with it, I kind of hate it.
Yeah.
And then obviously I told my mother when, like, the sign's on the window and everything is branded. She's like, well, you can't call it that. I was like, okay, well,
I mean, it is.
It's 100% done. Thanks so much. Cheers for that vote of confidence. No, bless her too. But just like, name's that,
yeah, what does it even mean?
I know it's we both just knew we wanted a random word.
Yeah,
we didn't want to call anything, like,
but how boring is just normal beauty words?
Exactly. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
our salon isn't the normal salon aesthetic as well, so like, we
kind of suits your vibe. Yeah,
exactly. Still coming around to it, but
but yeah,
we just viewed a few places and then we just went for it. But we really, really were like proper gaslight each other, like,
I know.
We only celebrated the first birthday there at the weekend, and that was the first time we've celebrated having a salon.
Oh,
because we've been so like, no, don't freak out, it's not a salon, it's not, just don't freak out, it's only a few years contact, it's fine. it was like a wild ride.
And how long was it all then in the making of, like, finding this place? Like, what were the logistics of it? Like, obviously, when you look at it from the outside, it's like, oh, they got a salon and it's all lovely and it looks fab. But I'm sure it was hard fucking graph. Like,
it was really complicated. Like, way more complicated than I thought it was going to be. And, like, having done it now, I know a good few people in the industry over here who've been like, I'm opening this and I got this contract. And then it doesn't end up open because there is so many hurdles to jump through.
Okay.
They do make it really hard, but I think having each other,
we
are able to kind of balance that out and like just kind of get through. But I think, to be honest with you, I probably would have tried to open it myself without me, but I don't think I would have actually got it over the finishing line without having her, because it's so complicated and so stressful and you're so out of your depth. That I think I probably would have just been like, here, to leave it, like, just say it's fine. Whereas like having each other when she was having those moments, I'm like, no, that's fine, we got this, we're fine.
Yeah.
And then she did the same for me. So it was a good few months in the making, and like, then I remember the posting of the Instagram account and stuff like that had been up and running for so long, but like, kind of behind the scenes up and running.
Yeah.
Like we were building the highlights and we're getting all the content ready to be posted and stuff like that. And yeah, it was just, it was a lot longer than people think. I think people think it just popped up, whereas it was like a good few months.
Of course, yeah. And you did a lot of the interior stuff yourself, did you?
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, we've done majority of ourselves, which is funny because I feel like I haven't really seen someone do like a actual shop front or salon kind of like DIY style.
Yeah.
But like, we're both just two gal. Like, I was just coming back after getting married. Like, I did not have a huge budget to be spending on reinvesting into your into your business.
It's the inner Sparky.
That's it. Yeah. No, that had so many challenges. Like, we set the fire alarm off the
door. Go away.
The full fire brigade arrived into the salon.
Oh, and stop.
And we literally were like, please don't find us, please don't find us, please don't find us. We just have to pay the bond. We just have to do this. I was like, please don't. If you ever want your armrest, we're like, these like grown ass men. And they were like, do I need my armrest? Like, we were able to talk our way out of not getting fired first at the fire.
Oh, I love that.
It was just, there was just so many hurt. Like, I remember the fire alarm going off, and me just like, we laugh about it now because I genuinely just sprinted around the salon. I was just running. And Eve was like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know. And I was just running back and forth. I don't know why I thought was going to happen, but
so
I was just
funny.
In panic mode. And there's been so many situations like that. Where we try to do things ourselves and then we fuck it. We have to pay for it to be redone.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, there's been loads of that. But I think it's nice to see someone do it on a budget and not have this big professional fit out. And And still,
I feel like that would be me if I was doing that as well. I'm a budget queen, like,
I know. And like, it's just hard because it was the two of us, and it's like, as I said, like, Niamh had only just moved here.
Yeah,
like, literally, this is in the first like 6 months of her moving.
That is crazy. Exactly. Fair fucking play to her.
100% like ballsy. Like in her first year, like 1 year being back here, she opened a salon, got a dog, and got engaged. Like,
I love that for her.
Wow, like, love that for her. And what like a ride for her. Like, it's been crazy, but we both just didn't, we genuinely just didn't have the budget, nor did we want to spend it.
Because
obviously, when you're spending it on your income to be, like, it's just all gone back in then. It's like, okay, well, I actually need to make money as well. To stop reinvesting. I, like, no regrets either. It was, it's been a really enjoyable process, like, singing when we're painting and having a little dance party here and there.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously, like, 14-hour days as well, trying to get it done. But, you know, it's been fab.
And are your husband, your husband and her fiance, are they tradies? Like, were they able to help you in that sense? Or are they wannabe tradies?
I think they're more the wannabe but they definitely were there and they were showing up every day and they were helping and doing a lot of the heavy lifting and stuff like that. But like, I mean, in terms of being technically talented in that area, I think we were lacking a little bit. But no, we may do, and like the lads are so supportive and just so helpful and stuff. They've been great.
And were you ever afraid actually to go into business with a friend?
I get asked this all the time.
I
don't know, I think it's wild that I get asked all the time, because I remember moving here alone. I was 23, we were together maybe 2 years, and I remember people being like, are you afraid to go, like, move country with him? And I've been like, why? Like, what do you mean? But, like, so many people kept saying it then.
Yeah.
And then I remember, like, it was kind of putting it into my head then, like, you should probably be afraid of doing it. And I remember being like, why, though? Because, like, if anything's going to happen, I'd rather know now than, like, if we have a mortgage or if you have kids or whatever
it is down the line.
So with Niamh, and, like, if you're going to go into business with someone,
like, I'd rather be your friend, I guess.
Rather be someone who you don't mind spending every waking minute with. Someone who you have a great relationship with, where you can snap at each other and it not be game over and things like that. Like, because obviously those long days and like there's a lot of big decisions to be made and a lot of adulting to be done, that I think I'm very lucky that I have her. We really balance each other out in that way, and because we worked together in the past, we knew we had that dynamic anyway. So personally, I never really thought of any problems, but we did obviously have the conversation of like, okay, well, look, what do we do if this happens, or what do we do if, like, we had some kind of deep conversations about stuff like that, as well as with like all our like accountants and our lawyers and all that kind of stuff, but like all the legal stuff. But me personally, if I had to go to business with someone, I'd rather be my best friend. I see her more than I see my husband. Like,
so. It's true. Like, obviously, you wouldn't have done it if you didn't think you could, like, trust her in that sense, or that you could get on in that sense. Because I'm sure there's obviously, do you know, like, some people say, like, oh, I wouldn't live with my friends or certain friends.
Yeah.
Because it would be like, you know you'd like turn heads off each other.
Yeah, so in a bad relationship or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. But yeah, obviously you wouldn't do that if you didn't think you'd be able. Same as us, like, doing exactly. this together, like, mm-hmm. I knew that there'd be no fucking bother.
Yeah, and if there is bother, like, I think it's like your fight style or your like combat style is like how you're gonna deal with that, how you're gonna come out of it. And I think when you have that kind of foundation behind it, you know that you're not gonna like have to worry the next day being like, oh god, why is she not gonna talk to me anymore?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Imagine that, yeah.
Because, like, I feel like in Australia or in Sydney, when you meet so many people and you make so many new friends, I think people are very quick to pick you up and put you down.
Mm.
And I have found that, like, over years, like, trying to make friends and stuff. It is so hard when you come out here when you don't know anyone. Whereas having that kind of deep foundation with Niamh and the history there, I just feel like no matter what happens, the two of us are so level-headed and so on the same page that we'll be able to overcome it. Same as like anything with your partner, like,
yeah,
like my relationship with my friends are so important to me. I treat them the same as I would with my partner and stuff like that, because you really have to like really really invest in that relationship. And I think me and Eve have done so much to invest. We spend every waking second together. Our lives are so intertwined. Like, we joke about being sister wives and stuff, because like,
aww.
I'm really good friends with her fiance. She's great with friends at own, and we just have a really good dynamic, and I'm really really lucky to have that. And it's been an amazing first year in business with her, and I don't think I would have been able to get to this point without her. Same for her, I'm sure. But yeah, we're a great team. So
I love that.
Never really had been a major concern.
Yeah. And do you have any, or have you ever had any disagreements in terms of like vision? Or are you very aligned in that sense?
We're very aligned, to be honest. Niamh's great because I'm very ADHD. I'm very like constantly going, like I have no off button. And I know that would be hard for some people. Like, I usually send her a chair at like 2 a.m. on a Saturday night. I'm like, what about this one? And she takes like a champ, whereas I know that would annoy some people and stuff.
Oh yeah.
We joke that we have like different hats, like Niamh's head of finance and like I'm head of design and like social media. So like we try and like separate the roles a little bit. So she very much does a lot of the back end stuff and I do more of the front end.
Yeah.
There's been a few things where we've both been like, hey, what are you thinking there? That's for sure that. There's been a few things like that where like we had a real issue with measuring things.
Right,
like just we are free ball. We're not measuring anything.
Yeah.
And just hoping for the fucking best. And so there's a few situations like that you're like, oh, you big each.
Yeah. I did the same as that though. Honestly. I'm like, yeah, no, that'll fit in there perfect. Yeah. And then
I don't even know what like a centimeter. Yeah, I don't have any
reference. No, literally, because Dennis is a welder, so he'd be flat out with the measurements. I swear it's like a passion. He'd be like, yeah, looking at anything random, that's raw 1.5, and I'm like, what?
Where's Dennis free?
Because a few things. I'll send it over to the measuring tape,
on over to Sarah. Oh, honestly, the two of us are just like, big just because we do it, and then we're like, damn, we shouldn't do that, and the next week we'll do the same thing again. So there's been a few things like that that you're like, oh, you fucking eat it, but then we're so fine with it.
Yeah. That's just life as well. Yeah, though. Like, you have to make mistakes. That's good though. No major disagreements. And what's been the biggest reward since the two of you went down your own?
I love that Niamh Niamh was working in her office job here, and then when she moved home, she didn't have, she wasn't working in beauty, but she had this mad talent for us, and like she's so skilled and so good at it that like I feel great that I was able to help her on that kind of process. Aww. Like, I love that I was able to be part of that for her, because I love seeing my friends do well. It's like my favorite thing to see, and like with Niamh, I get to see that every single day, and like she's just so good at her job and like making people feel good when they leave, and that's been really rewarding. And then also just being able to do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It can be quite intimidating sitting in a room full of men in suits and talk about things that you're not super confident in, and like contacts and all sorts, and being able to hold your own and to even pretend that you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because they're super intimidating circumstances. And I think it's been really rewarding to be able to have done it by ourselves and not need any massive help or anything. Obviously, the lads were great and our friends were really good. But
yeah, such a huge achievement.
Yeah,
they're fucking great.
Cheers. I mean, it's only a song.
No, but you know what I mean, though. So, and abroad as well, when your family aren't friends.
That was kind of sad. I was like, oh, I wish my dad was here to like paint or something like that. But honestly, gaslight, like even hear you saying that, I'm like, no, it's just a straight space, it's not a deal at all. It's fine, I'm like, don't panic, don't panic too much. But no, that's like, it was my mother-in-law and father-in-law were just celebrating. It was so nice to have her and, do her brows and her lashes and her nails, and like that was great. Like, that was really good. Yeah, I can't wait to have my mom in soon. But
When's your mom coming over next?
Well, see, I knew my mom would get FOMO with my in-laws being
I'm coming over tomorrow.
100%, like, I knew it was coming. And I said to Anna, I could give it a week.
Yeah.
And she got on the phone being like, so we're gonna come over. But she rang, I think they were in the air, like they were in transit over, and she was like, so me and your dad are talking. And like, we're thinking of coming over in like maybe April next year. And I was like, no way, why April? Why are you thinking April? And she was like, oh, no reason, like, just thought it'd be a good time to come. And I was like, not because, you know, that Niamh's just planned her wedding for April and I want to come to the wedding.
I love like, that.
Oh, well, I mean, if there's an invite, well, I'm there. I was like, okay, so me and my mom's coming to your wedding. So yeah, I think they're going to come for April next year for Niamh's wedding.
So oh, I love that. That'd be so nice. It'll be her first time seeing the salon.
First time seeing the salon. Yeah. Yeah. She probably still hate the name. 2 years open, she's still like,
No, but I actually do think that's a massive thing, setting up a business away from your family. Because you know when you do things at home, it's like, oh, my uncle knows how to do this, and my fucking this one on the road knows how to
100%.
Do that. None of that here.
No, and then I was like, where are these people getting these? Like, how do you know who does the floors or who does this?
Yeah.
Like, 100%. Whereas at home, it's like everyone's related and everyone's helping. And and I definitely miss that aspect of that. It's just so funny as well, because like, when I quit my full-time job, my mom said, we're like,
what are you doing?
So what other full-time job are you gonna have? Even when I was like fully booked and like thriving business, so you're not thinking about going back to the office, like they're just very like,
stability.
Yeah, exactly. God love them. Do you know, like, whereas I was just like, oh bless, it's coming from such a good place.
Yeah,
I think it'll be I'd love to see the two of them in there and just see what we've done.
And
I am proud of it, like, obviously, but
of course, as you should be.
It is obviously funny having those milestones and not celebrating them with fans sometimes.
Yeah.
Or my friends from home.
Because
even when I went home, they were like, God, I'm mad.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
What the
fuck? Like, that's mad. And like, they'd be really like, and come here, like, should I get a big massive blow? And I'm like, no, it doesn't really work that way in Sydney. That, like, not that it doesn't work that way, it's just not that we had to do that. Do you know?
Yeah.
If it was at home. I remember taking out like a $2,000 to go on holidays at home. Off the credit union and go if you want to go away. Whereas
it's not the same here.
Definitely different. But it was funny for them to even be like, oh, they in Sydney, how wild. And I'm like,
And so, as you mentioned earlier, it's your 1 year anniversary for Rock Community. What's been the biggest highlights of the year?
Biggest highlights? Ooh, I think just having our own space has been amazing. And I love the area it's in, and I love everything about going in. The highlights, I think, are the day-to-day is like having the people come back to us and like, I've never been to Mashville before, it's random, it's literally 6 minutes from my house and wherever, like, it's so close to everywhere. But the highlights, God, I think I didn't anticipate the freedom I'd have.
So
that's been great. Like, I've been able to go on so many holidays. Like, last year I tried to go, like, I opened it in last March we opened, and I went on holidays once a month. Each. That was just because after COVID and after the wedding and stuff, we hadn't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, right, we need to knock out some trips and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought because I would have that space, I wouldn't be able to as much. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, that need, I got like a great team in there and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've brought in other people as well. Like, it's not just the two of you.
Which wasn't really the plan necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, we thought when we went in, oh, we bring in maybe one or two people. And like, we had one or two of the girls kind of in mind who we bring in. And yeah, then at one point, I think we had 7 people in there and stuff. Like, it was never really meant to go that way. But I'm fortunate enough to have two of my little sister's best friends working in there as well. And like, that's been a real highlight for me, is being able to have just a little opportunity to give to them to kind of help them get going with their journey. And they've only moved over here, and like one of my best friends now as well is like thriving. Like, she's doing so well. She's doing makeup for Levi. She's after doing a nail course. Like, her goal would be to work with us full time then. So
yeah,
that's probably been it's probably been my highlight, is like being able to share the opportunity.
Unreal. What's been your biggest learning since starting Bonky?
I think probably that I can't like weld. I can't actually do any actual form of tradie work myself, unfortunately. No, the learning curves, I think there's just been so many things that we've done that and we've been like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
It's okay, some property to do it or something like that. Like, we ripped up all the floors and then we're like, ah.
You thought the YouTube video would do it, like.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I'm like, delulu on what I could do. Yeah. Like, I even like was trying to paint and like the wall's like 3 meters wide and I'm like, oh god, we're gonna be here for hours. There's like pure delulu in this department. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't really know what the biggest learner would be. I think it's been it's everything is like, even having your own business, like I'm sure you know with your podcast and stuff, like every day is just a learning curve. Mm-hmm. And like for me, it's like trying to have that little work-life balance, I think has been a big learning curve for me.
Yeah.
Because the first few years trying to build it, there was no balance.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now that it's built, I'm like, oh
yeah,
okay, I can take the weekend off. I barely even work weekends anymore.
Oh, fine. Yeah,
I'm more of a midweek girly now, so it's been unreal to be able to go to the festival and go on the night out and mm-hmm. go to brunch, whereas I didn't do that for 3 years.
Yeah.
I was trying to stay consistent and not take the days off and stuff, so I think that's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to be like, no, I actually can take a weekend off and people will still come back, or I can go home for 2 weeks and people, like, I won't lose my clients then. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a big learning curve, so.
Yes. And what advice would you give to somebody looking to start their own business?
I could ask this a bit. I love helping, so if anyone's listening and wants any help, I actually do love it. Because I think I literally started from no experience.
Yeah.
Like, and I only got into the beauty industry kind of like by chance, really. Like, I wasn't, something I came out of school and was like, yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
But I think the advice I tend to give to people a lot is stay consistent and like keep practicing, keep doing it. I think probably the game changer for me was during COVID. I was working from home in my other job and I had some free time. And I remember being like, if I just spend an hour a day,
mm-hmm.
focusing on what I want to do,
yeah,
I feel like I'll get there.
Yeah.
And that's all I did. I literally was like, an hour a day has to be put into it. So if your goal is to go full time and do it, like, I think even spending an hour a day perfecting your craft or on your Instagram, or like for me, Instagram was paramount. Like, I wouldn't have the business I do. Like, and that was just being like, how are people going to book you if they don't know you're there?
Mm-hmm.
So staying consistent and posting everything, take pictures and videos, everything,
mm-hmm.
and don't give up. Because I think I was very close to giving up a lot.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, because it's hard. Like, consistency is key, and like that, like. Like you were saying earlier, you could post, you could put so much effort into something and not see the engagement back. But like, it's the consistency though. Like, you can't base it off that one post or feel like, oh, I put so much effort in and like not that many people liked it. It's the constant. It's hard. It's hard graft. Yeah.
And like, sometimes like there's been times where people be like, oh, I actually saw that TikTok, and I'm like, you watch my TikTok. You booked an appointment after seeing a TikTok. And it's like, those, they have like 200, like, I'm in TikTok jail. I literally, like, our Bongi page gets 200 views on our Wally post.
Oh.
And I remember someone saying that, being like, god, I would have thought that didn't perform well, or it didn't have an agent, or it wasn't well received. But somebody saw it and somebody's booked in for that reason.
Exactly.
And I think once you keep that, bear that mm-hmm. in mind, it's not all about like how many likes to get or how many comments to get, or obviously that's validation for you mm-hmm. and it feels good in the moment, but ultimately, if that's what you're doing it for, is the goal is to build your client base or build your business, that will still come by you still staying consistent and having, I used to use it as my online portfolio, because like when I started, people had an actual folder of like,
oh, really,
like I'm not 52 now, but when I was doing my makeup course, like we had a full-blown like physical portfolio.
Stop.
Like, and I remember like shipping it with me in my 14 kilo backpack, being like, god, I had my certs, like, because god forbid it was online. I had like loads of actual physical pictures now, so I'm like,
that is mad.
8 years ago feels like
20 years ago,
honestly. I'm like a dinosaur. But yeah, I think just staying, and like, I know staying consistent is so vague, but like for me, staying consistent was that 1 hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, you have to spend an hour a day doing something for your business or something towards the goal. Because like, how are you going to achieve that goal if you're not doing it about it?
Mm-hmm.
And like, quitting the job was so terrifying, but like, once I did it, that changed everything. So yeah, I think don't give up on the days where
you're feeling like shit.
Yeah, and you're getting no validation online. No bookings and all. Like, just keep, like, even if you're not getting, like, passing yourself.
Yeah.
Get modeling and do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep on pushing.
Yeah.
Keep on swimming.
Okay. And final question, this has nothing to do with the business, but so as you know, the podcast is called Not a Single Bother, and it's named after a group chat with my friends from home. What is the funniest or weirdest group chat name that you have, and what's the meaning behind it?
Oh god, mine are so boring.
I feel like everyone that I've asked so far says that. I'm like, guys,
be boring. Like my girls group at home is called Glam Squad, which is so funny because none of us worked in glam right when that was called up. I remember we were on like 12 pubs or something, I mean years ago, I was like 18 or something like that, and I mean I was sitting in the smoking area, I think we were on like our 8 or 9 pub, and I was genuinely cross-eyed, like I looked like I'd been dragged through a bus, and we were all like made like the lipstick ever, and I remember a girl just walking out and looking deadpan at us and being like, do you use that work in beauty or something? You use it like the Glam Squad? And we were like, ah!
Like, the funniest thing ever, because
I genuinely looked disheveled. Yeah. Like, I had a rough night. It was only like the start of my, but we all just found it hilarious at the time. So we called our group chat Glam Squad.
That's hilarious.
Now people do work in beauty now, which is ironic. But
yeah.
My group chat here is called Roasties, purely because we roast the fucking show each other all the time. And you literally do not get a break from the girls. Say, like, if you even spell something wrong, you best believe that that's being brought up from months ago.
That is hilarious.
And like most of us are dubs in my group, but one of the girls is from like Mayo, and like everything she said, we're like, okay, Mayo. Like, she called me a ledge bag today, and I was like, no, this can't happen anymore. Like, no. Or like some of the girls' nicknames and all that stuff, literally was something they said once. Like,
yeah.
When we went to Darwin, Neve was like obsessed with shenanigans in the pub. Yeah. So now everyone calls her Shags. Like, when the girls went there recently and got her Shags t-shirt, and I was just being like,
that is brilliant.
So like, boring.
No, not boring. That's the best I've got.
You had some bad ones.
I feel like it's so personal to people as well. It's kind of like, it's funny for us, but is it funny for you?
I know, because like the dance I wonder, like genuinely was like, I nearly passed out laughing. Like, when you repeat, you're like, oh. And it was literally like 15 years ago. Yeah. It was ages ago. But and then the girls went here, yeah. Honestly, just because we just had such a ball. Yeah. Even at the weekend, we brought like a few like friends out with us.
Yeah.
We went to brunch and we were like, yeah, just a heads up, so if you say anything, like we are just going to roast. Like, and why do to bits? But like, it's coming from love. Like, it's all love. It's all,
we're
like,
not mean.
No, we're just having the crack. Like, and that's our humour, I think.
Oh, I love that. That is gas.
We just take this out of each other the whole time.
That is everything!
It
was so grand though, wasn't it?
No, I still like a chewed ear off.
No, not at all. I was asking questions.
That's it for this week's episode, guys. If you want to follow Sarah or her salon Bonky Beauty, I will leave the @ in the description of the episode. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast, and I will see you in the next episode next Wednesday. Bye!